but over the years, I've had some weird shows. Sometimes people see you at a comedy club or a college or something, and they'll be like, this is great. Like, this is really funny. We should have this in our conference room, like in the fluorescent lights with Diet Coke, you know? And I'm like, that is not a good idea, but I'll do it. But I'll tell you about the worst situation that I was ever put in as a comedian. It was a few years ago. I was asked to perform at a charity golf tournament in New Jersey. And I said yes, because secretly I enjoy golf and I'm not against charity. I'm not gonna cock block charity. What am I, a monster? What do you think I am? But it was tough because I had to wake up for the golf portion at 6 a.m. Sleepy Carl wasn't having it. He was like, why would you go play golf when you could stay here and make out with Miss Pac-Man? I've been waiting for this moment my whole life. I woke up, I got dressed. I realized recently, like, I'm not a good adult yet. Like, I think if you're a good adult, when you're getting dressed, you think about what you're going to do in the course of your day and plan accordingly. But I don't have that. I'm just like, one outfit forever, you know? And I just... I go to the golf event, and I brought my brother Joe. And Joe, I always call him America's guest, because he's like that family or friend who always just invites himself along to whatever you're doing, you know? He'll be like, might I tag along? Even like a good Entourage member, he's never like, you the man, Mike, or like, this guy's a genius. He's always like, I don't know what Dad would think about this. And, think they got any more shrimp? You know, it's kind of a mooch, you know? And so I show up, and it was the golf portion of the day. Turned out it was a celebrity golf tournament, and we were paired with these two guys, and the guys were like, who do you think our celebrity's gonna be? And for a moment, I got excited. I was like, yeah, who do you think our celebrity's gonna be? Oh, no. I think it might be me. And then I'm like apologizing. I'm like, I'm really sorry I'm your celebrity. Do you think this is disappointing for you? You can't imagine how disappointing it is for me. Because, you know, I'm a comedian, but off stage, I'm really not funny at all. You know, I'm very awkward. And I have a habit of making awkward situations even more awkward. I always give this example, but a few years ago, I was moving a new bed into my apartment, and this woman who lived in the building opened the front door for me with her key, right? And she said, I'm not worried because a rapist wouldn't have a bed like that. That's how she started the conversation. Now, what I should have said was nothing. What I did say was, you'd be surprised. And there's nothing you can say after that. It was like, see you around the building, you know, that kind of thing. I've thought about this a lot, and I think there's something wrong with my brain where I don't have an on-deck circle for ideas. You know, it's just batter up, you know? A lot of the ideas are bad. And they're at the plate going, I don't know about this one, Mike. And I turn into this drunk Little League dad. I'm like, you go take some cuts, son. This is a Conway paint supply. At the end of the golfing portion of the day, my outfit was a mess, you know. It was all wrinkled and, you know, and I was like, what about one outfit forever? What about that plan? And so as damage control, I decide to go to the locker room to iron my own pants. And I found an iron, but there was no ironing board. And so I took off my pants and I'm just ironing them on a bench in the locker room in my underwear, which is a dead giveaway that these are my only pants. So I'm like ironing my pants, and this old guy walks by, and he's like smiling at me, like real big, you know. And I was like, hello, you know. And I realized, and I'm not making this up, that it was Rudy Giuliani. It was, but I wasn't self-conscious because I was like, Rudy's ironed pants. He knows what I'm doing. Because if it were George Bush, he wouldn't know what was going on. He'd be like, what do you got there? Telephone? You call in your pants? But I'm ironing my pants, and then I put them on, and I go up to the event, the banquet, and this is where the trouble really begins. It's important, before I tell you this portion of the story, to remind you that you're on my side. I'm sitting in the back of the room with my brother Joe, and the woman who's in charge walks up to me and she goes, okay, Mike, there's two speakers and then you and then a raffle. And I thought, that doesn't sound good. But I was trying to, you know, look at the positives. I was like, well, I've never opened for a raffle. But here's where it gets bad. The first speaker walks on, and he's an 11-year-old boy who survived leukemia. I know. He's not funny at all. He's focusing primarily on leukemia. So everyone's crying. Everyone is crying in the whole room, and I'm crying, you know, but for two reasons. It gets worse, because Joe leans over and he goes, this ain't looking so good, Mike. I said, I concur. Second speaker walks up, and it's Phil Sims, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback for the Giants, and he gets up, gives a really inspiring speech, and he even sprinkles in a few jokes about golf that were similar to jokes I had thought of about golf that day. It was like watching the last drops of my joke canteen drip out onto a desert of cancer. And he got a standing ovation, which he should have. Clearly, the show was over. Surely there can't be anyone more famous than Hall of Fame quarterback Phil Sims. But wait. There was. It was Mike Birbiglia, who had spent most of his day apologizing for being someone's celebrity. At this point, three quarters of the audience remained standing and left the building. There were about 45 people left in the room, and they were there because they're told that after the comedian, there's a raffle. I got on stage and I attempted to make people laugh. And as a comedian, when people laugh, it's very exciting. And when they don't, it feels like you're performing jazz. People are kind of bobbing their head and looking to the side. And I'm like, oh, you know, I enjoy jazz. But then I get worried. I'm like, sometimes jazz sucks. what if I'm the Kenny G of comedy? You know, like, what if I think I sound like this? Like, and in fact, I sound like this. No, 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 no. Because you know when he plays that song in his head, he's rocking. He's just like, I'm feeling it. Everyone's like, Kenny, that song's not very good. He's like, I know that one ain't good, but how about this? No. Kenny, that's the same song. You're the worst musician ever, and we're your friends. This is an intervention. So I'm at the charity golf event, just Kenny G'ing it up. For like 10 minutes straight, just. And it's important to point out, I don't want to fail. They're good people running the event. And so I think to myself, why don't I make my material specific to this event? And everyone has been talking about cancer. I know. I'm in the future also. I had that thought for about 1.5 seconds, and then batter up. I told the audience a true story. I said, I went to the doctor recently, and they told me there was something in my bladder. And whenever they tell you that, it's never anything good, you know, like, we found something in your bladder, and it's season tickets to the Yankees! No! At that point, I threw in the towel. I just thanked the audience and apologized simultaneously, which I had never done. I was like, thank you, sorry for ruining your event, you know, and I walked off. And I felt so bad. I mean, I don't remember feeling worse in my life. I was just like the shell of a human being, and I walk up to Joe and I just go, Joe, we are leaving this place now. And that's when Joe said, and I quote, Mike, I can't. They're just about to start the raft. And because everybody laughed, my odds are amazing. That is the worst show that I've ever had.